Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son." He was testing her. Are you ready for a miracle? Do not be afraid. You have absolutely nothing. You are so afraid of your lack, and I am telling you, don't be afraid. Here's your miracle. Go home, bring it to me first, and then go home and make some for your son. He's already telling her the miracle's on the way.
All right.
It's going to be more than enough. Right. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Now, I'm saying this to every single person in here who has had a fear of lack. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. Look, all through Scripture, God's children never suffered through famine. Ever. We do not need to fear lack. As surely as the Lord lives, God will supply your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. She went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word the Lord had spoken by Elijah. Look, we have a word spoken by God Himself.
Yes.
That says, you don't have to fear lack. There's no reason to fear it. God will supply. But you see, there was a key there. The very first words that Elijah said to her wasn't, God's going to do this miracle. He didn't say, well, don't worry about it because, look, I'm from God and, you just do it. Just watch what happens. No, before he could even do the miracle, he had to get her heart right. And the very first thing he says is, get rid of the fear. Do not be afraid. You see, we're praying for miracles on one hand and being very fearful about them on the other. I'm telling you, you don't need to be afraid of lack.
God don't work in fear.
You do not need to be afraid of lack. And some of us are facing some pretty daunting situations. We are facing some pretty daunting situations. And it looks like, oh my goodness. But I am going to tell you, you will be amazed at what God will do for you when you get out of the way and let Him do it. There is no reason for a child of God to have a fear of lack. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. The next type of fear we're going to talk about is fear of rejection. I'll tell you what. It has paralyzed so many people. It has hurt so many people. It has made people mad to leave a church. It has made people so angry and so hurt and so upset because of their fear of rejection. Let me put you all to rest, first of all. There has never been a single person in all of the world who has rejected a person who is a Christian. You're all looking at me like you're crazy. Understand this, you have died and it is Christ, and the rejection has nothing to do with you. It is Satan attacking Christ. If you can understand that, rejection's going to look completely different to you than it has ever looked in its life. And all of a sudden, you're not going to fear rejection. But what fear of rejection does is it does three things. It makes you a people pleaser.
Yes.
You know, and it's okay being a people pleaser until you have two people in the same room and they both want something different. Then you become schizophrenic. Because you can't please, You're right. He can't please them all. But that fear of rejection will cause you to try to become what someone else wants you to be. And you are not what somebody else wants you to be. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I have died. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live is through the power of Jesus Christ. And when somebody comes up and they reject me, and trust me, I've had quite a few in the last couple of months. I've had people actually scream at me the last couple months, and I've had to say, wait a minute. I got mad one time, and then I said, okay, wait a minute. I've got to stop this. They are not rejecting me at all. They don't even know me. They're rejecting what is in me, and that is Jesus Christ. And if we could understand that, rejection wouldn't matter to us anymore. But Satan uses that rejection to try and get us to feel horrible about who we are. And to change who we are, and to try to please man. And oh my goodness, when you try to please man, you can never please God. You can't do them both. And then you lose the blessing that God has for you in walking in His way. Because you are trying to please people. You know what else pleasing people does? Rejection does? The fear of rejection gets you starting to compare yourself to everybody else. And that causes all kinds of blessing blockers, because all of a sudden you find yourself very proud because you're better than that group. But then you also find yourself feeling very, very poor about yourself because somebody's better than you are. Look, there's always going to be somebody skinnier, prettier, smarter, and braver than you are. But there's always going to be somebody that is uglier than you are and dumber than you are and more of a big selfish fool. It's the truth. And if you get caught up in the fear of rejection, you're going to start looking around and seeing if you fit up, because you don't want to be rejected. But if you have truly accepted Jesus Christ, they are not rejecting you, they are rejecting Christ. And He is quite able to take care of Himself.
Amen.
I want you to go to Luke chapter 12. Tell you what, if you don't get this yourself, teach it to your children, because it will keep them from going along with the crowd. Luke chapter 12.
What verse?
We are going to look at verse 8 and 9. And then we're going to look at another one. First of all, I want you to see 9. I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before men will disown me. I will disown before the angels of God. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. If you're trying to please people, you can never truly acknowledge Christ. The only time you'll be able to acknowledge Christ is when they want you to. And you'll go along with the crowd. And you know what? We have a whole society who thinks that tolerance is the key word of the day. And all that really means is we have a bunch of spineless politicians who won't stand up for what is right because they want to please the people.
Amen.
And we are in the mess we are in because we have a whole group of people in powerful positions who have become people pleasers. And you see where that's getting us. I want you to go to John chapter 9. This is a very interesting story. This just absolutely, I still don't get this one. John chapter 9.
First John.
No, Big John. Big John. Big John chapter 9. Okay, we're going to start with verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed them and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do miraculous signs? So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it then that he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. Now, if you're a parent and your son is born blind and Jesus heals him, are you excited?
Yes.
Are you excited?
Yes.
If you're a parent and Jesus answers one of your prayers about your children, are you excited?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, that's the greatest prayer he answers, isn't it?
Yes.
Woo, my kids are good. My kids are happy. I'm happy. Amen?
Amen.
But look what happens. We know he is our son, verse 20, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age and he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. Do you see that they got a supernatural miracle from Jesus Christ, and because of fear of rejection, they could not even acknowledge it? I'll tell you, I love it when somebody in public just will say, well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. And then not be afraid of rejection for acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord of all.
All right.
And here are these parents. They have got their son. Thank God the son was not relying on the parents for the miracle, or they never would have gotten it, because the parents had the fear of rejection blocking anything. Yeah, fear of rejection. It is a horrible fear that is made up by Satan to keep Christians from experiencing God's best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you what, it's all made up. Because they're not rejecting us anyway. It's a very interesting thing. That Satan is entering them and attacking us, and he has us convinced that we're being rejected. But when we really recognize it's Jesus Christ, now Satan has to go against Jesus Christ.
All right.
And we're completely covered. We are wrapped up in his arms.
Yeah.
Do you see that? The fear of rejection. We don't need people pleasers. We do not need spineless people that go along with the crowd. We do not need people who are so fearful of rejection that they become paralyzed. Are there things God's asked you to do and you're afraid to do it because you think people will make fun of you? Or they'll reject you? Oh, yeah. Yes. A very, very real fear. Okay? What about the fear of failure?
Yes.
What about the fear of failure? You see, if God has asked you to do something, you can do it. If God asks you to do something, he's already given you everything you need to do it. It's amazing, isn't it?
Amen.
I remember Cindy was getting ready to take a job as a nurse practitioner, and she was like, you know what, I am so anxious about this because I really I'm afraid I'm not going to do this well. And I said, cut it out. I said, if that's where God wants you to be, when the time comes, he'll tell you what you need to know. And she called me one day and she goes, you know, you were absolutely right. Every time God will tell me exactly what I need. You see, but there's all kinds of things in this room that we could be doing that would just be an absolutely wonderful blessing from God, and we're paralyzed because we're afraid we're going to fail. Yeah. You see, God hasn't asked me to do a whole lot of things that I try to do, and I have failed at them. And if you've heard me sing, you know that. If you've seen me dance, you know that. That's not what God has asked me to do. You know, there are certain things that God will not ask you to do because that is not what he needs for you to do. But if he's asked you to do something, you cannot let the fear of failure paralyze you. You can't. God has given you everything that you need to do what he's asked you to do. That's the exciting thing. It isn't even you working. It's God working through you. He's just saying, show up.
I would just give a testimony that it's been tried and true for years now that every time any situation comes along, God gives me his wisdom. I don't even have to, it's stuff that he just gives me the answer for what is wrong with that person or what I need to do or what to say. And I'm just thanking the Lord because then I don't fear the unknown or, you know, it begins with.
I want to tell you all something here, and we'll pick this up again next week. But I don't want to leave you hanging with this fear of failure. I want to explain something to you. Do you remember when Jesus was walking on the water? Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yes.
And Peter said, if that's you, let me come to you. Now, Jesus said, fine, get out of the boat. You know what? If Jesus told him to get out of the boat, Peter could look down there and said, that water, the wind's blowing, it is crazy out here. I cannot get out of that boat. But if Jesus told him he could do it, Jesus gave him the power he needed to do it. And guess what? Peter walked on water to Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
But I want to show you something about that. Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you. Come. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. How wonderful is that? To be in a supernatural miracle coming toward Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But when he saw the wind, he became fearful.
Yes, he did.
And as soon as fear entered, he began to sink. Fear of failure. He looked down and he said, there's absolutely no way I can walk on this water. And when he realized that in his own strength, he was trying to walk on water, he began to sink. I'm going to tell you, there is no way I can teach a Bible study. I can't do it. And I resisted doing it for fear of failure for a couple of years. Cindy Drew will tell you that. I cannot teach. I will be the first one to tell you I cannot do it. But I can show up and let God work through me. I had to overcome my fear of failure. Amen. So, we're no longer slaves to fear. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and proclaim this to God above.
You are our only